from north to south. This is NHPR.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. A new year often sparks new enthusiasm for better days ahead, but when it comes to economic forecasts, many 2012 predictions adopt a sober tone. The New Hampshire Business Review states that our economy is crawling, not marching, toward a happier tomorrow. A report by Wells Fargo places the Granite State at high risk from a European recession. And one of our guests today, economist Dennis DeLay, has been widely quoted as saying New Hampshire will be skating on thin ice economically this year. Still, no matter how thin that ice may be, it's a lot thicker here than in other states. While Granite State unemployment has risen recently, it's still more than 3 percentage points lower than the national average of 8.5%. Our housing sector, while not robust, is more stable than in many other states, and a recent Business and Industry Association survey shows nearly 80% of companies here expect no layoffs this year, while almost 15% expect to hire. Today in The Exchange, New Year's hopes for the New Hampshire economy. We'll dig into the forecasts, the opportunities, the concerns, and why some are looking nervously across the Atlantic when it comes to predicting our own economic future. Let's hear from you, too. What's your prediction for your own economic situation in the new year? Do you expect 2012 to be better or worse than 2011? What trends are you especially watching, whether it's job growth, housing, the situation in Europe? And if you're an employer, are you planning on staying the course this year or adding jobs? Give us a call, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. We have two guests with us, Ross Cattell, professor at the Whittemore School of Business and Economics at UNH, and chancellor-elect for the Community College System of New Hampshire. And Ross, good to have you, and congratulations on your upcoming position with the Community College System.
Well, thank you very much, Laura. It's good to be with you again.
And with me in studio, Dennis DeLay, economist at the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies and New Hampshire State Forecast Manager for the New England Economic Partnership. And Dennis, happy new year. Good to see you.
Good morning, Laura. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, Dennis, that skating on thin ice quote is you. Why is the ice thin?
Well, the ice is thin because the economy's fairly uncertain at this point. The full quote on that, the full metaphor, was coined by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he said the best thing to do when you're on thin ice is to skate faster. And I think that's a good metaphor with what's going on with the economy right now. We seem to be having a lot of difficulty getting the economy moving, getting it past stall speed, if we were going to use an airplane analogy. We are having some job creation, but it's slow. We have a fairly low unemployment rate, as you said just a couple of minutes ago, but it's still at this point in a recovery, you'd expect to see a New Hampshire unemployment rate of around 3.5% instead of 5.2%.
Wow, 3.5, that's low.
Well, not for us it isn't. I mean, that's our historical average over the last couple of decades.
Wow. Ross, what do you think? How thin is that ice?
It's pretty thin, and I would say that it's hard for New Hampshire economy to skate faster when the national economy is so weak and there's so much uncertainty and downside risk in the global economy, particularly in Europe. So we have a relatively strong economy here in New Hampshire relative to the U.S. average. But there's only so thick that ice could get and only so fast we could skate economically in New Hampshire when the national and global economic prospects are so uncertain and the fundamentals are so weak.
Well, give us a little more. That's interesting, Ross. So, you know, we're doing okay relatively, but there are these sort of outside clouds that could issue a downpour on us at any moment.
Right. You know, when the national economy, you know, just good news, out today from the Department of Labor that the U.S. economy added over 200,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate went down from nationally went down from 8.6% to now 8.5%, and that's the lowest unemployment rate in the nation since February 2009. So basically, lowest unemployment that we've had nationally for the last 2 years, and so that's the good news. But the bad news is the unemployment rate nationally is still 8.5%. We continue to have concerns about the stability of that that slow recovery in the U.S. because of the global economy, the European debt situation, and how that will affect U.S. markets. Here in New Hampshire, a lot of our economy or an increasing percentage of our economy is dependent upon exports and foreign direct investment, close ties to your European economy, and the European economy might go back into recession. There's a decent chance that that's going to happen. So these external factors, factors outside of New Hampshire, that really concerns us most in New Hampshire right now, even though compared to the national average, we've had a better recovery. We have a significantly lower unemployment, 5.2% compared to that 8.5% nationally. There's only so strong that our economy could be, or only so fast we could recover those jobs lost.
Yeah, I would add two other things to that, Ross. One, higher energy prices, which always tend to pick the pockets of New England and New Hampshire consumers a lot more than the rest of the country. When oil gets to be $100 a barrel, that's a big problem in terms of lowering the outlook for consumer spending in New Hampshire and New England. And then the other thing I'd mention is, if you remember a year ago, we were going into, I think we might have been doing a show about a year ago, we were going into this last year, 2011, fairly optimistic. A lot of the indicators were looking pretty good. Help wanted advertising was up. We thought we were going to, this would probably, 2011 would have been a turnaround year, and it didn't turn out that way for some of the reasons that we were just talking about. The other thing I'd mention is I think there's been a lot of policy missteps at the federal level, and the European debt crisis is another example of that, at the international level as well. I mean, frankly, the political leadership has not done a very good job of paying attention to what's going on in the economy. And I just mentioned some of the obvious things, the whole debt level discussion that would happen this summer, which resulted in the S&P rating agency essentially downgrading U.S. debt. So I think there's been a lot of policy missteps, and hopefully we won't see many of those in 2012.
Lots more to talk about. I want to invite our listeners, though, to join us now at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Join us as we look at economic predictions for the new year, 2012. What's your own economic forecast for the new year? Will 2012 be better or worse for you than 2011, economically speaking? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Also, if you're an employer, we'd like to hear from you if you're planning on adding or subtracting jobs this year, or pretty much staying the course. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. A little more on unemployment here in the Granite State, if we could, gentlemen. Ross, you mentioned the new numbers out from the federal government, 8.5%. New Hampshire's at 5.2%, which looks relatively better. But, Ross, our unemployment rate has ticked up a bit recently. Where did those job losses happen?
Well, you know, the weakest sectors of the economy still continue to be related to the housing sector. Construction industry lost a lot of jobs, haven't recovered those jobs. But some of that uptick, very slight uptick in the unemployment rate is due to discourage workers coming back into the labor force, and to natural growth in the labor force, recent college graduates, people moving to New Hampshire, even though there's not too much of the latter. But there is this natural growth in the labor force, and any increase in employment that we've had across different sectors of the economy in New Hampshire hasn't kept pace with the natural growth in the labor force. And also adding on to that, people who had been discouraged during the depths of the recession, who are now coming back to the labor market because they see signs of improvement. So that unemployment rate, or a slight tick up in the unemployment rate, doesn't necessarily mean that we continue to lose significant number of jobs in different sectors. I think right now it's more indicative of very, very slow employment growth and also some re-entry back into the labor market.
Yeah, that's hard to get a handle on, though, Dennis, isn't it?
Well, as counterintuitive as it sounds,
right,
the unemployment rate can tend to go up even as the economy is improving. I mean, if you look across the sectors in New Hampshire for the November data, which is the latest that we have, we've been adding jobs in professional and business services, and I like to see that. Because those are fairly high-paying jobs. Those are technical services, management services, professional and scientific services. We've added about 3,000 jobs in that sector over the last year. We've added about 5,000 jobs in November of 2011 compared to 2010. In leisure and hospitality, we've added jobs in trade and transportation. As Ross said, where we're having trouble is on the housing side of things. We actually lost about 600 jobs in construction in November of 2011 compared to November 2010.
And we should add that manufacturing nationally and in New Hampshire is showing some recovery, adding some employment, particularly in advanced manufacturing sectors of the economy. There's some signs of improvement, particularly, as Dennis noted, in industries that pay fairly well, including professional and business services and manufacturing. So there are some positive signs out there, but the numbers, the employment growth, has not been significant enough to really drive down further that unemployment rate in New Hampshire.
Well, I should point out, too, that in the national report, and we'll get data for December in a couple of weeks for New Hampshire, but the national report released today showed there was actually a drop both in the discouraged workers and the number of people who are working part-time that want a full-time job. So that was good news, too.
One more question about employment here in New Hampshire. And, Dennis, you've written about this. Hospitals have been cutting their workforces, and the healthcare sector has long been seen as an engine of economic growth here in the Granite State.
The hospital sector has said, as a result of the changes in the budget and the changes to DSH payments, that they were going to be reducing their labor force. However, if you look at the numbers, there are more people working in hospitals in November of 2011 than there were in November of 2010. Employment in hospitals went up by 800 jobs over that one-year period.
Still, even with all the cutbacks and
dramatic press releases.
Well,
again, when you talk about cutbacks, what are you really talking about? I think you have to parse the press release pretty well. I mean, are you talking about reductions in future job additions? Are you talking about reductions in FTEs that are vacant right now? But again, if you look at the numbers, there are more people working in healthcare now than there were a year ago.
Wow. All right. Well, and coming up, we'll talk in more detail about some of the clouds that both of you outlined on the horizon, real estate and the international sector. We'll start taking your calls, too. So join us at 1-800-892-6477. As you look ahead to the new year, what's your own economic forecast? What are you especially looking at, whether it's housing, jobs, global economic uncertainty? Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, and we'll be right back.
Good morning, it's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Ford and Weaver PA, attorneys representing businesses and institutional creditors in bankruptcy and troubled debt matters from their offices in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And Dr. Rod Burdett in Riverview Dental of Concord, dedicated to enhancing your appearance, oral health, and wellness. Practice that listens online at smilesnh.com. More on the New Hampshire economy in the new year on The Exchange on NHPR and at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show. It's the Friday News Roundup. New Hampshire weather for today, cloudy with high temperatures 35 to 40 for most of the state. Cloudy, some scattered flurries and snow showers throughout the day in the North Country, highs around 35. Then tonight, mostly cloudy. Chance of snow flurries north of the White Mountains, lows 15 to 20, turning partly cloudy in the rest of the state with lows from 25 to 30. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're taking the temperature of the Granite State's economic outlook for 2012. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. What's your own economic outlook for the new year? What trends are you especially looking at? And if you're an employer, do you plan to add jobs in the new year or not? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. Also, The Exchange is now on Facebook. We hope you go to our page and join the conversation there. Joining us now from Manchester is Dick Anagnost. He's a real estate developer from the Queen City and president of Anagnost Investments, Inc. And Dick, welcome back and Happy New Year to you.
Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So what types of housing, Dick, seem to be doing better these days? Is it the rental multifamily market that's taking off, or is it single-family homes, or what?
Well, the shining star in real estate in New Hampshire and across the country right now is multifamily and apartment living. That's as a result of a number of reasons. Probably the largest one is most people can't buy houses as a result of tightened underwriting restrictions by the lenders, and there's no new construction going on in the single-family market. So right now, vacancy rates are down, rents are starting to rise, and multifamily is where it's going to be in 2012 in the real estate market.
Interesting. So nationally, we hear, Dick, that banks have tightened up on their lending standards for those single-family homes. Do you see that tightening also here in New Hampshire or not?
Yes, it's the same going on everywhere. I mean, most of the banks in New Hampshire, the small community banks are keeping us afloat here. All the big banks have national policies because they're national banks. So the underwriting standards have grown a lot more strict over the last 2 years to 3 years since the financial market crash.
You know, we've talked about this before, Dick, and I want to ask you, you said multifamily apartment construction is the shining star in real estate now. As you well know, sometimes multifamily projects get blocked locally. People don't want big apartment complexes coming in. They don't like the way they look. They're afraid that there's going to be a million kids and that'll raise the price of schools. Do you still see that going on, Dick, or not? Or has that dynamic changed?
No, that dynamic is still present. The only thing is there's a lot more information available now, Laura, with actual statistics of how many kids are actually generated per unit and those kinds of things. There have been studies commissioned by New Hampshire Housing Finance and other private developers that show that those were fallacies back then. And so with readily available more information, that's becoming less of an issue regarding the schools. However, what is the barrier to entry is it's still a long approval process to go through planning boards and getting your state approvals. And couple that with the fact that there's very little multifamily land zoned in most municipalities left. So it's still, you know, there's a huge void in the marketplace to be able to bring a lot of units online.
You know, you mentioned rental prices going up. What about home prices, Dick? Are they going up, flat, falling, or what?
Actually, our home prices right now are flat. We had another year of 2011 with a mild decrease, although New Hampshire's weathered far better than a lot of the other states with respect to the depreciation of homes. I anticipate in 2012 that we'll either see a level marketplace or a slight uptick.
You hear some frustration sometimes, Dick, from realtors who say that potential buyers are staying on the sidelines waiting for prices to go even lower. Do you see that?
Yeah. The potential buyers that are out there that are qualified, first of all, by a lender, it's still a buyer's market. They're driving the marketplace. They're making offers that are significantly less than what asking prices are in order to try and cut better deals. But it is still a buyer's marketplace because there are a lot less buyers that qualify under the tightened lending restrictions that we're currently operating under. So those few buyers have a large selection. So naturally, when you have a large supply and a small demand, the people demanding get their way.
Well, one more question for you, Dick. What about commercial real estate? Is that a different story from the story you've painted in housing or not?
No, commercial real estate has stayed pretty steady in New Hampshire. I mean, there hasn't been a significant number of foreclosures like there has been in the residential market. We have still a fairly strong economy here compared to the rest of the country. Our unemployment rate is low. We still have a lot of jobs, even though we're still trying to create more jobs. So, you know, there is still economic activity going on in New Hampshire. So the commercial market's been fairly steady. The office market is probably the weakest portion of it. And that comes from companies sizing down and also doing more with less. There was a time when we used to measure each job or each employee at about 150 square feet per employee in a commercial space. And now companies are looking at the utilization of 50 square feet.
Wow, so that's a big change.
Yeah, so they're putting more employees in smaller spaces and being more creative by making them open, shared conference rooms, cubicles, those kinds of things in order to keep their cost of overhead in real estate down.
So how are you feeling about the new year overall, Dick, as someone who's heavily involved in all kinds of real estate? You feeling optimistic or cautious or what?
Actually, I'm somewhat cautious and a little bit optimistic, but, you know, There was a phrase coined in my office the other day by one of my staff that we're in a ho-hum real estate market. And what that means is there's going to be some ups, and that's going to be the ho, and there's going to be some downs, and that's going to be the hum. But overall, it's going to stay pretty stagnant and the same as it was in 2011.
Oh, well, Dick, it's good to talk to you, and good luck to you in the new year.
It was nice speaking to you, Laura. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. That's Dick Anagnost, again, real estate developer from Manchester, president of Anagnost Investments, Inc. And before we go to the phones, Ross Cattell, Dennis DeLay, Ross, to you first, the importance of the real estate market and your own assessment of the role it's playing in New Hampshire's attempts to recover.
Oh, it's very important, not only as a source of direct jobs, like in the construction industry, if there's new construction, new homes, building
rehabs and just in general housing market activity, but also as a value, as a source of household wealth and security over time. So the stabilizing of housing prices, which Dick spoke about, housing prices, that's a positive sign, and we'll slowly see some increase in housing prices, but that they're no longer going down, and that the commercial real estate has been relatively steady. That's positive news because it speaks to the strength of our economy. I also took a positive news about the construction and focus on multifamily housing and rental housing because, as you know, Laura, in the past, you've had shows about housing affordability and how that affects our ability to retain young workers and recent college graduates. So I think having more housing options, having rental options, having more affordable housing available to our young people, our entry-level workers, is going to be positive in the long run for the New Hampshire economy.
Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Join us with your own perspective on what the economy might do here in the Granite State in 2012. 1-800-892-6477. First up, gentlemen, is Michael in Portsmouth. Hi, Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I was wondering if you can either comment or quantify the fiscal drag that the economy is going to face, both internationally and for New Hampshire, in terms of state, local, and federal government fiscal drags.
Michael, it's a really important point. And Dennis, you've written a lot about this.
Actually, we've looked at that at the center. And if you go to think of this period that we've been through sort of in two stages. If you go to from the beginning of the recession to about last summer, the state and local government part of the economy was actually acting as a cushion. We had the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. We had significant spending at the local level. And so even though private sector jobs were declining, public sector jobs were increasing in that period from about 2007 through the middle of last summer. Right now, it's in the last year and a half, it's the opposite thing is happening. We've seen about a 1.5% increase in private sector jobs from last summer to, and I'm talking about the summer of 2010, to now, and we're seeing about a commensurate decrease in public sector jobs of about 1.5%. So what's happening right now is the public sector, state and local government, is acting as a drag on the economic recovery.
And go ahead, Dennis.
And so, and that's through all sectors. I think for the state budget, probably the worst is over. We're starting to see a stabilization in state revenues. At the local level, local government level, I think we might be in for more stress on their budgets because a lot of local revenue funding and revenue raising is tied to the property tax. And we were just talking about how property values have either been steady or actually declining.
Yeah, your thoughts too, Ross, on this idea of the public sector was kind of keeping things from slipping too far into the trenches in 2009. But now Dennis has written that the public sector has been a drag on New Hampshire's economy.
Yeah, no, I think that's the case. And even though the government, the federal government data on national employment that came out today, the sector that did decline was the government sector, particularly dragged down by reductions in employment at local government level. So it's not just New Hampshire. This is nationwide. And what was a stimulus, a booster to the economy, the government public sector early on in the recession, now during the early stages or during the recovery, is now a drag. What I worry about, particularly with the public sector and reduction in spending, is reductions in spending that really drive down our economic advantage, that really eat into the economic foundation of our state, and that's basic infrastructure, roads and bridges that we're not able to repair and keep up, and our educational system, you know, K through 16 plus, is that we reduce spending on education. That really has implications, not just short-term with reduction in teachers, reduction in employment, but on our economic foundation, our skilled workforce, and that's going to have longer-term negative economic implications.
Well, one more question on this, and to you, Dennis. This is partly an economic question, but partly a political question. At what point does the spending by government, whether at the state or federal level, create a drag on the economy? The Republican presidential candidates are talking about this. They say, look, government can't just keep spending and spending and going into debt and increasing deficits. That has an economic pull-down effect, too, at some point.
Well, I think you have to look at this short-term versus long-term. In the short-term, there's no doubt that reduced government spending, either at the local or state level or at the federal level, when all we seem to be talking about now is austerity as opposed to figuring out ways to stimulate the economy. In the short-term, that does slow the economy down. I mean, people work in the public sector. They spend money. They go to restaurants. They buy cars and so forth. The hope, I think, from those people that are talking about, trying to reduce the deficit is that in the longer term, that's going to decrease borrowing costs. That's going to essentially be stimulative in the future. But in the near term, I don't think anyone could disagree that slowdown in government spending tends to slow down the economy overall.
I want to bring in another point that both of you raised earlier, and this is the international picture. Many economists say they're concerned about Europe, especially given New Hampshire's strong export sector. For more on that, we're going to go now to Justin Oslowski. He's director of the U.S. Export Assistance Center in Durham, which is part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. And Justin, real nice to have you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Well, first, just the numbers. How important are exports to the New Hampshire economy?
Well, it's been a huge part of the New Hampshire economy, and it's been a real bright spot over the last few years here. So we looked at the numbers through October of at least 2011, and there's a little bit of disappointment, but I'm going to try to spin it positively here and try to pivot companies' frame of mind as it comes to maybe exporting from our very traditional markets to looking at new emerging markets around the world. So,
where do most of our exports go at this point, Justin?
Well, it's still Mexico and Canada, and I was just looking at the numbers this morning, and again, this was just through October of 2011, and, it's still Mexico and Canada. It's well over a third of our exports are going there, and, it's close to home, and, obviously Canada is just a short drive away for most of us. So, and that's what we're looking at. That's why I think our exports were a little flat this year, because Mexico, which experienced great growth from 2009 to 2010, it flattened out a little bit over 2010, 2011. But Canada, still a strong market. And I think people look to eastern Canada, but, there's a whole other part of Canada that a lot of our exporters aren't looking at. And that's kind of what we do here in our office, is position companies to, engage more international partners, identify distributors. And we work with a host of U.S. embassies and consulates around the world. So we really do have business advocates on the ground for us just about everywhere someone could go.
China's a big export market for New Hampshire too, right, Justin?
It is. It's the third largest market. We did see a little decline to China, but hopefully, there are some programs coming down the road, and certainly this year, including a trade mission to China. And we're hoping to address sort of that little dip that we had there. That was a concern of mine, obviously. It's an emerging market. It's a large market. And I think we should have seen continued growth to China. So I think we're well positioned to address some of those issues in 2012. And I think we've got some great programs. If listeners aren't familiar, we have a state trade and export promotion grant that was awarded to the state, which Senator Shaheen's office helped to draft. And that's going to provide some grant monies, basically, for companies to use our matchmaking services, our business-to-business matchmaking services.
So the opportunities are there. They're there for people who want to get involved in this. Justin, I have another question for you, though,
sure.
If I could jump in.
Absolutely.
Every economist that you read these days says we're worried about Europe, and yet here you're saying, look, New Hampshire's exports are Canada, Mexico, China. So how concerned should the Granite State really be about the shakiness in Europe?
Well, I have to be honest. I'm not an economist. I'm an export promotion guy. I'm a party guy. So what I try to do is take a look at the opportunities. But, I'm looking at the numbers, and just with my own background, you'd be surprised. We actually did see growth to some European countries. Germany, as an example, is our fourth largest export market. And although growth was a little bit flat, there were still increases. I spoke with one of our commercial officers overseas a few years back, and it was concerning an Asian country, and there was a lot of violence occurring. And I said to her, I was like, how could U.S. exporters succeed there? And she said, Justin, despite what happens and what you read in the news and in the media, a lot of times there's still business going on the ground. And I think that's the same case here, that you'll still have companies that are growing. Overall, it might be difficult, but that you still have pockets of growth, and we need to and our office will help to identify the opportunities that exist there still.
All right. Well, Justin, good to inject a little optimism in this 2012 economic
outlook. I try my best.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Sure.
That's Justin Oslusky, again, director of U.S. Export Assistance Center in Durham, New Hampshire, part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. Our number here on the exchange for you to join us with your own economic forecast for 2012 is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. You know, Ross, I wanted to ask you also about why all the concern about Europe. Less than 2%, from what I understand, of our state's gross domestic product is made up of exports to Europe. So that doesn't sound like cause for worry. What do you think?
Well, first of all, those are high value added products, therefore they provide opportunities for income earning of workers and for companies here in New Hampshire. So that's very important. And also, because of the foreign direct investment, our largest manufacturing employer in the state, BAE Systems, is a UK-owned, the British company. And we have a significant other investments here in New Hampshire from European nations. And in the larger kind of macroeconomic picture, the financial markets, the worldwide financial markets, are going to be strongly affected by the debt situation in the European nations. So I think to just say, well, only 2% of our economy, our gross state product, comes from exports directly is not really the appropriate way to look at the impact of,
it's bigger than that.
Of Europe on the New Hampshire economy. That's a very narrow perspective, and I think it'd be inappropriate to just look at that 2% and write it off.
Sure. Dennis, Ross, what do you think?
You make a good point, Ross, about foreign direct investment. We have one of the highest ratios of foreign direct investment in New Hampshire relative to the states around us. We used to be talking about outsourcing a few years ago, you know, and what a problem that could be. New Hampshire has one of the highest rates of insourcing. There's a lot more foreign direct investment in New Hampshire relative to our overall employment base than most of the other states around us. So, and again, you make a good point. When foreign companies are not doing well, that's going to affect New Hampshire as well. Again, if you remember what Justin was saying, Mexico and Canada and China are important, but numbers 4, 5, and 6 are Germany, the UK, Portugal, a lot of European countries.
All right. Well, we'll take more of your calls and emails after a short break. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Keep it right here.
Folk legend Peter Yarrow put the Peter in Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Light one candle for the Maccabee children, but thanks to their light, it didn't die.
I'm Kate McNally. Join me for the next Tupelo Public Radio Project. I'll speak with Yarrow live on stage at the Tupelo Music Hall in White River Junction on January 13th, and during the Folk Show the following Sunday. For tickets and information, visit the Folk Show page at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the Woodlands at Harvest Hill, a community for independent senior living with on-site nursing available, minutes from Dartmouth College. And New Hampshire School Administrators Association, representing school superintendents and administrators, championing the education of children every day, online at nhsaa.org. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Monday in The Exchange, the issue of electability in this year's GOP primary. Email us your thoughts before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and tune in Monday morning, live at 9. Today, we're looking at what the new year may hold for New Hampshire's economy. Join us with your questions and comments. Call in. What's your prediction for your own economic situation in the new year? Will 2012 be better or worse than 2011? If you are an employer, a business, or an organization, are you planning on adding jobs, subtracting jobs this year, or pretty much staying the course? Our number is 1-800-892-6477, the email exchange@nhpr.org. And Ross Cattell, Dennis DeLay, two other sectors that I just want to touch on very quickly with you. And Ross, that's tourism. Think snow. How is that? How is the lack of snow affecting our tourism sector this year?
Well, I saw a little bit of snow this morning in Portsmouth.
Not enough to cross-country ski on.
Maybe we're turning the corner, but that might be optimistic. It has to be affecting tourism, not only because you know, there's very little snow in New Hampshire, but there's very little snow other parts of the Northeast. So people aren't thinking snow; they're not thinking about skiing. So it's going to be a slow start to the ski season. I'm sure there already is a slow start to the ski season. On the positive side, when we're talking about, and also linking to what Justin's conversation and talking about the international economy, is we have this neighbor to the north, Canada, whose economy is doing very well compared to other nations. And the exchange rate in Canada, it's strong. So we have the ability to bring down Canadians into New Hampshire for skiing and other type of economic activities. So back to your original question, I think the ski season, the tourism season for the winter is off to a slow start because of the weather. But I think there's an opportunity to recover if we get that snow, and also maybe if we could take advantage of the strength in the Canadian economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I should put in a plug for the Alpine areas. They've been making snow when they're open. What is lacking are the snowmobiles, trails, the cross-country ski trails.
Snowshoeing places.
Snowshoeing, so any of those. And again, George Bald, I know you've had him on the program, so has often says that we have more snowmobile mile trails in New Hampshire than we have highways. So that's a big part of the northern, especially the northern New Hampshire tourism economy. And unfortunately, there's really not enough snow to snowmobile on at this point.
Although, Ross, we should mention that the North Country got some good economic news in 2011. In fact, a couple pieces of good economic news.
Yeah, no, there has been some good economic news with some investments up there, securing of manufacturing employment up there with the recent purchase of the Balsams Hotel and some stability there. So there has been some relatively positive news in the North Country. There's still a great need to focus on economic development, workforce development issues up in the North Country. But I think what we see in the North Country is pretty much, you know, the story throughout the state is, you know, going back to Dennis's analogy, is, you know, that ice is thickening a bit, but it's still hard to skate fast in this economy.
Well, paper mill is going to be is opening back up north, Ross. Also, that empty federal prison, finally they approved the funding to
start employing. They're interviewing people and they're going to start employing people. So I think that is positive news. And I think in an area that has had mostly negative news, that is a very good sign.
Our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. Here's an email, gentlemen, from Deborah. And Dennis, I'll give this to you. Deborah says, regarding your guest's recent comments related to healthcare workers, the figures are misleading. Yes, overall, there are more folks employed in healthcare, but this obscures the real story, she says. While hospitals and clinics are laying off full-time workers and offering early retirement incentives, the gap is filled by new hires. More and more of these are independent contractors, per diem workers who are not eligible for benefits such as health insurance. Seems ironic, they're working in the healthcare industry. And given the current state budgets, accessibility to healthcare will tighten and possibly disappear in more rural areas. Deborah sending us an email from Grantham. Thanks, Deborah, for that email. What do you think?
Well, again, an industry actually is in the expansion mode, what they tend to do is before they hire full-time workers, they hire part-time workers or consultants. And for the very reasons that the emailer was talking about, they don't have to pay health care benefits, they don't have to worry about pension benefits and that kind of thing. So, again, you see, I think what's really happening now is that the healthcare sector, after expanding at a fairly rapid rate for a good number of years, actually several decades, is starting to look at cost containment. They are starting to come under the same kind of pressure that other sectors of the economy have come under. I mean, Ross and I were, as you'd said earlier, were part of the New England Economic Partnership conference that was held a couple of months ago, and we're hearing sort of the same stories about the healthcare sector from Connecticut and other southern New England states about hospitals starting to looking at laying off people or reducing workforce. So this is, you know, not just a New Hampshire problem. This is across the country as well.
Now, do you think if we hadn't had the stimulus in 2009 that hospitals would have had to have gone through this 2 years earlier, because some of the stimulus money, a good chunk of the stimulus money, went to beefing up Medicaid budgets?
Well, that was part of it. A lot of the stimulus money went to directly to school districts through Title I and IDEA money. A lot of the stimulus money also went to construction projects and highway projects. The airport access road is open a lot earlier than anybody would have thought it would have been in Manchester, obviously because of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding. So, again, that's the larger point, is the government had been acting as a cushion and now is acting as a drag on the economic.
Well, thanks for that email, Deborah. And let's take a call. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Michael is waiting in Ayer, Massachusetts. Hi, Michael. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Michael. Yeah.
Public radio programming. I have an observation, surmise. I'm here in Ayer, and as I travel, I see many businesses, large and small. Half the parking lot is New Hampshire cars, license plates. And I wonder, this must really skew the actual statistics. If everyone who lived in New Hampshire actually worked in New Hampshire, I would think New Hampshire's unemployment rate would be much higher. I don't know if there's any way to quantify that.
You know, Michael, this is an important point, and Ross, one you and I have talked about before. You've called another economic engine of New Hampshire, along with manufacturing and healthcare and tourism, Massachusetts.
Yeah, you know, the proximity to a relatively strong economy in Massachusetts, and particularly strong in high technology areas and knowledge-based industries, is a plus for New Hampshire. That somebody lives in New Hampshire and is employed in Massachusetts is beneficial to New Hampshire, that people have a range of employment options, and particularly in a relatively weak economy when employment prospects are not promising, to be able to widen that search to not only your own state but neighboring states, I think is positive and helps the resilience of our overall economy and helps our New Hampshire households.
Yeah,
and that people come home at night and spend their money and have their housing in New Hampshire, that further helps the New Hampshire economy. So I don't see that border being as relevant as I guess Michael sees it as relevant. And I think he's exaggerating a bit when he says that all of New Hampshire people are employed in Massachusetts. We do have a strong New Hampshire-based economy also.
Right. That's exactly right. And again, you know, we shouldn't put restrictions on where people want to live and where they want to work. About 25%, I think, of the labor force in southern New Hampshire commutes to jobs in Massachusetts. That's true for that part of the state. If you go over and look at the Connecticut River, you're going to see a lot of Vermont cars in New Hampshire business parking lots, because there are more jobs in Grafton County than there are people in the labor force. So a lot of that workforce is coming from the next state over. So again, I'm sort of with Ross on that. I mean, I think thinking about putting restrictions on where people want to live and where they want to work is certainly the wrong way to go.
All right. Well, Michael, thanks for the point. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Here's an email from Rob who says, we're considering building a house on a piece of land we own and have been waiting for the right time. Seems like now would be the right time, with contractors starving for work, mortgage rates at a low 4%. Rob says, however, material costs are high due to many suppliers going out of business, and the terrible housing market is making it very difficult to get new houses to appraise up to the cost of building. Very frustrating. Rob says, my local bank has zero, in capital letters, construction loans right now. That does not sound very encouraging to me. Dennis, we talked with Dick Anagnost about this too, tight lending standards and how banks are viewing the real estate sector right now.
Right. And again, I think if you talk to community bankers, what they'll say to you is that we've gone back to sort of the old standards, you know, 20% down, you know, that you have to be working, you have to have income coming in order to get a housing loan. So that's a tighter standard relative to where we were a couple of years ago, but it's about the same standard that we were seeing back in the early part of the last decade, in the late 1990s, early part of 2000. I think there's another thing that we should talk about when we're talking about the housing sector and how important it is to the economy. The housing sector is indirectly a real impetus to small business creation. Because if you look at how people create businesses, they tend not to go to banks. They tend to, especially a small entrepreneur, maybe thinking of just self-employed or adding a couple of people, will usually rely on their own resources, a home equity loan, you know, borrowing money from friends. And if your value of the house is not going up, it's a lot more difficult, obviously, to get to take the value from your real estate and use that to create a business. So I think one of the reasons that we're seeing very slow business creation, very slow job creation, is in part because of what's going on in the housing sector.
All right, Rob, thanks for that email. And, you know, gentlemen, the elephant in the room that we haven't talked about yet, really, is the presidential primary happening right now in New Hampshire. Ross, I'd love your thoughts both in terms of how the economy is being discussed by these candidates and whether the primary itself adds cash to the Granite State economy.
Yeah, on the first question, Laura, nationally and in New Hampshire, the top issue on voters' minds is the jobs and the economy. And, you know, even New Hampshire, with a relatively a strong economy compared to the U.S. average, the number one concern is, you know, the recovery of jobs. Where are the jobs of the future going to be, the strength of the economy, and how the economy is going to perform over time. So they're asking the candidates, you know, questions about their economic policies, their economic plans. And a lot of the candidates, I think, across the board in the Republican primary are contrasting, you know, their approach to economic policy, you know, reducing taxes, reducing governmental regulations, shrinking the size of government, and contrasting their views with the current administration in Washington. And there has been some, and I think increasing discussion, differentiating among the candidates about what they propose economically. On the latter question about
the more parochial question, yes.
right. What does this mean economically, the primary in New Hampshire? Well, I did a study in 2000 with Brian Gottlob about the economic impact of the New Hampshire primary, and it hasn't been updated. It's a very difficult process, a lot of details required. And we estimated that the overall impact of the primary during the year of the primary in New Hampshire was about, at the time, about $260 million, which is 0.6%, so under 1% of the total gross state product. And I would think that in real terms, the impact of the economy, and in percentage of total economy terms, the impact of the primary on the economy has declined slightly because of changing factors in the political process. There's more states that have moved up their primary, so New Hampshire doesn't get the same attention. And compared to 2000, when we had two contested primaries, now we have just one primary. There is not a Democratic contested primary, and even a Republican primary isn't as contested because of Romney having such a big lead as it, elections have been in the past. So I think the impact is lower in 2012, and it's not insignificant, but it's a very small proportion of our overall economy here.
Yeah, I think if I recall correctly, I think it was either you or Brian, the author of the study, that essentially said that all of the impact of New Hampshire primary is probably equivalent to one weekend for the race, for the motorcycle races in Laconia.
Really? That small?
So, again, and we get a primary every 4 years. We get a race, a Loudon race or a Laconia motorcycle race every year. So, again, you can kind of judge it that way. Less than 1% of the economy is, I think, a pretty good number.
So much for all those dark suggestions by national pundits that the only reason we want to be first is because of the cash benefits, Dennis.
Right.
Well, I think a couple of years ago there was actually a discussion within state government to sort of promote the primary, you know, as a tourist attraction, and the discussion, as I recall, pretty quickly got squashed. That isn't why we do a New Hampshire primary. It's not for the economic impact.
You know, Ross, you and I have talked so often in the past about the economy and predictions for the new year over the many years that we've been here. And sometimes you use shapes, Ross, to describe what you think the economy will do in the new year. You know, you say it's going to be a W, it's going to go up and down, or it's going to be an L, it's going to stay flat, or it's going to be a V and go up. What letter are you picking for 2012?
I'm not sure if it's a letter. It might be an underline. It's pretty flat.
Uh-huh.
I think 2012 is going to be similar to 2011, which is, I think Dick described it earlier when he talked about the housing sector, but it's also relevant for the economy. It's going to be pretty stagnant, pretty flat. I don't think, you know, given the underlying conditions that we spoke about, given that there's not going to be significant economic policy changes in Washington in this political season, I think we're going to have an economy that is relatively flat. We might see a tick up every once in a while and then a tick down. And my fear is that we could see a big tick down if, you know, the European economy goes into a recession, or if Iran closes, you know, the oil waterways, and then we see energy prices go up as much as 50%, which some might predict if Iran takes radical action with regards to blocking the oil supply, the energy supply for our country. So I think it's going to be pretty flat with some more potential for downside risk than for upside growth.
Wow. Okay, Dennis, real
I'll
quick.
I'll call it out as a saucer or a bowl. In other words, I think we're at the lowest part of the bowl and we're gradually creeping up the other end. It's probably going to take us until about next summer, maybe even next fall of 2000 or even early 2013 before we get back all of the jobs that we lost in this recession.
All right. Well, guys, always good to talk to you. And Roskatel, thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks a lot, Laura.
Roskatel, professor at the Whittemore School of Business at UNH, chancellor-elect for the Community College System of New Hampshire. Dennis, good to see you. Thank you.
Great to be here, Laura. Thank you.
Dennis DeLay, economist at the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Emily Johnson. The Exchange is now on Facebook. Join our page to continue the conversation and learn more about what we're doing every day. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.